Hi guys, this is Nadia Hilger. I'm playing Magna on The Walking Dead, and you guys are listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Golden Spiral. I hope you guys enjoy this podcast, and I'm sending you all my love. Bye!
The Walking Dead Talk Through, Episode 95, Choke Point Review.
Welcome to The Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to The Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of The Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278. Or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts.
Hey, survivors, welcome to the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Mark.
And I'm Laura.
Thank you, Laura, for filling in this week. Brian is out this week, so Laura's filling in for us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Thank you. Talk about previous from the past week's episode. Brian gives his a little errata. Mark, although you had a weak sauce last week that RJ wasn't in the episode, he was credited in the episode properly. So, yeah, I guess so. I didn't even look at the credits, Brian, so... Where he was in the episode, I don't know. So that was on Brian. He's saying he doesn't know where he was in the episode, but apparently the kid was there.
I do know where he was.
Where?
He, just before Michonne has her little conversation with Judith at the top of the staircase, she peeks into RJ's room and he's sleeping in the bed.
Ah, I must have missed that.
That's where he is. It might have been him. I know it's kind of dark. It could have been a mannequin. But yeah, right. If he was credited, then it was probably him.
Or a doll or something. Who knows?
This RJ, he's a sneaky little guy.
Yeah, he is. Hopefully get to see him more of him.
And hopefully it's not just Michonne, because a lot of people don't think he's real.
Yeah, that's the common consensus right now.
Who is this RJ?
Yeah. So this week we'll be covering The Walking Dead Season 9, Episode 13, Choke Point, written by Eddie Gazalian and David Leslie. Oh, I made a mistake. David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick.
Oh my gosh, that's a mouthful.
That is a big mouthful. Yeah, Brian always points it out. That's a very long name. It was directed by Lizelle Tommy, credited for Mrs. Fletcher, it's a new TV show, Dolly Parton's Heartstrings, Insecure, Dietland, Queen Sugar. She also directed Danai Gurira's play Eclipsed on Broadway, which got her a Tony Award nomination for Best Director. Which is
cool.
That's interesting. So it's like it's keeping it within the Walking Dead family.
Yeah, awesome.
So on to our ratings. And what did you rate this episode?
My rating, and I've been giving them pretty good ratings lately, but this one got an 8 out of 8, 10 grammatically correct death threats. Yo.
Well, I gave it 9 out of 10 Daryl and Connie connections. And Brian says,
hi, this is Brian, and I have taken this week off as well. Thank you to Laura for subbing in my presence. And I wasn't sure I was going to record anything, but I noticed that with the big Facebook outage today, which is Wednesday, the 13th of March, I thought I'd better chime in. Otherwise, you guys might end up talking for 20 minutes. I don't know. But as far as this episode for ratings, and I'm going to give it 9 interrupted puppy love kisses. And I'll just say this now.
Aww.
I mean, it was a good episode and a surprising episode in some ways. But otherwise, I really liked it.
Oh, well, thanks, Brian. And thank you for recording that. Now on to listener ratings.
Glynis gives it 9 out of 10. This show is getting beta. I see what you did there, Glynis. Good one.
Yeah, nice twist on things. Well, my co-host from Panels to Pixels, Steve Brown, says 9.8 out of 10. The Masters hung me in the spring of 25. He says it's a song lyric some may get.
I think I might know what you're talking about, Steve, but we'll see.
Okay. Now on to some awesome sauce.
Awesome sauce! Steve says, I love the Highwaymen and I hope they stick around.
Barbie says,
welcome to the kingdom.
Because she's a new member. So Barbie says, I loved how playful Carol was when she asked the lead Highwaymen, when's the last time you saw a movie? Delightful moment. Loved the King's reaction to it. Plus, it worked. I also loved when the Highwaymen came to the rescue of Tara and company. I wasn't sure which way that was going to go. I just hope we can trust these guys. The kingdom really needs them.
Definitely.
Yeah. Brian says,
so first of all, I want to say welcome to Barbie. She's a new Facebook group member. Yeah, so welcome, and I have to say, I agree, Barbie. Oh my God, that was so unexpected, especially to hear from Carol, yet so awesome. That was something I never, ever thought that she was going to say. I did not expect her to resolve it that way. I expected killing. So anyway, I thought that was great.
Yeah, cool. Well, I have to agree with Barbie and Brian. That unexpected delivery from Carol and the Highwaymen about the movie. So I was expecting. I loved it. It also feeds my what sauce a bit. But I thought of it, you know, it was a funny sauce in my opinion. Just a little bit of a, yeah, it's like we're missing a lot of the little bit of humor out of the show for a while because lately it's been a bit dark.
Yeah, I think Carol put on her Grandma Carol face. Not because she's older, but she reminds me of my mother-in-law, who's the sweetest little woman. And everyone calls her Grandma Donna because she has her own daycare. And she always puts on this cute little smile when she's being sweet. And Carol has that same smile whenever she's trying to trick someone into trusting her.
That's cool. So we continue on.
Glynis says, the Highwayman entrance to assist Tara and company had a nice Western flavor. Reminded me of the start of Bonanza. Cue the music. giving my age away. She has another awesome sauce, and that is Daryl and Beta's battle was epic. Beta is going to be hard to kill. Enjoyed the battle strategies on both sides where Daryl and company set up the choke point, which sort of worked, but Beta was also cunning with using the door as a shield. When he anticipated Daryl would have the crossbow aimed at the entrance, the survivors have to think before they leap, so to speak, as it's not just a simple matter anymore of stab the walker in the head and move on.
So Brian says,
Glynis, I just wanted to chime in here because I had this one on my awesome sauce as well to say, I agree. The fight between Daryl and Beta was great. It was physical, and I was actually scared for Daryl for more than a few seconds in this. The only other awesome sauce that I want to bring up is for Christy, the teacher. I thought that she really did well on Talking Dead compared to some of the other people that have won that Ultimate Fan. I thought she did really well, and she spoke well, and she brought up intelligent things. So I think that she did really well representing. Not to say, you know, one of us or some other friends of ours couldn't do just as well or better, probably better. But I thought she did well, though. Didn't have a lot to complain about.
Cool. Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, I thought she was really well-spoken and had some nice analysis. I actually did watch Talking Dead last night.
I really enjoyed Talking Dead this week, especially with the actress who played Connie.
Oh, yeah, and I wrote her name down and I didn't get it. I didn't save it, but she's adorable. I love her.
Yeah, it's amazing. So you have some awesome sauce, too?
Yeah, so my first awesome sauce, I've got a few here, are the Highwaymen. And Steve, I think I know what you're talking about, because the Highwaymen, not only are they this new group on The Walking Dead, but if anyone's into classic country music, they know that the Highwaymen were a 70s and 80s classic country supergroup that included Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, and Kris Kristofferson. That's a hard one to say. But so that's why I've taken to calling the leader of the group Waylon, because he looks a lot like Waylon Jennings. And I believe that quote that you gave us, Steve, is from their most famous song called The Highwaymen.
Yep.
Yep. So check them out, people. Also, I loved the knife fight between Beta and Daryl. I think it's been quite a while since we've seen a vicious cockfight between Daryl and another alpha male. It's been, what, since maybe Merle with the governor or something like that? I know he had the fight with Morales, which was awesome, because it's nice to see Daryl drop his crossbow and pick up a knife, because he's pretty handy with a knife too, and we don't get to see him using his knife skills very often.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, so this is pretty cool. I love the double knives too. That was badass.
Yeah, the double knives from Beta, if you looked at them, they look almost like swords in some way or something. Very reminiscent, straight from the comic too, which is pretty cool, because they were hidden behind his back. He didn't even know he had them.
Oh, that's awesome. And I'm gonna give a controversial awesome sauce here to say Henry, because I like Henry. I am on Team Henry. I think he's a cool kid, and I know a lot of people love Carl, but I feel like giving Henry a chance. He reminds me a lot of Glenn. He's very guileless. He's very self-sacrificing and true heart. You know, he has a very kind heart, and I know a lot of people think that he just wants to hook up with Lydia, but in my opinion, I think he first really cares about her and wants to help someone who's desperately in trouble, but he also is a bit smitten with her, obviously, and just he wants to really help her. So Henry's one of my awesome sauces. He has been for a while. Also, Dog. Yes, Dog is awesome. And when he went to attack one of the Whisperers, Game of Thrones fans out there, I had a full-on dire wolf moment when he was ripping his throat out.
I just love the idea of Dog.
Dog is awesome. He reminds me of my husky, who looks really, really scary, but he's really, really a wimp, actually. But no, Dog is badass. And then the horror moments, and I wrote down Daryl's shining moment, and I didn't mean shining as in amazing. I meant shining as in Jack Torrance with an axe through the plastic. That was so cool.
That will lead me to my awesome sauce. And my awesome sauce would be Daryl and Connie's connection. Both are the same in certain ways. Daryl, by choice, silent. But Connie's brings the person out of him. And they collaborate, you know, they can collaborate very well and get the job done. Plus, you know, it's funny how he's silent by choice. She is silent because she can't. You know, she has no choice in the matter, but is able to speak up and get him to speak. So I think that's an opposite kind of thing, bringing those two together.
I know, it's perfect, you know?
Yeah.
He doesn't talk too much, and, you know, she doesn't need to.
Well, she wants to.
Yes, but you know, she gets her point across very succinctly, so. And he's forced to look at her, which is perfect, because she has to see his lips to understand what he's saying. So he's forced to look up from his greasy hair.
Yeah, definitely. And my last part would be seeing Beta in action. That's what I was expecting. But honestly, I really wanted more. I craved more.
What more did you want to see?
A lot more aggression. I'll go into that into my weak sauce, which leads us to our weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak!
So, this week we didn't really get any listener weak sauce, but we do have some from Brian.
Okay, so I had two weak sauces. First one is, why are they traveling with the baby? That just seems all sorts of wrong. And then the cold open, they're running away from the Whisperers, and someone falls. Who is it? Who do you expect it to be? Henry, that lame-ass kid with a lame-ass trope.
I take it Brian's not a Henry fan.
No, I'm not really. It's like I see him as the filler of Carl, but it's like he doesn't, it's not annoying to me, but it's just like, That's how I feel about him. I know Jason likes him, but I'm not really into him that much.
I really feel like this actor takes the role on a little bit better than Chandler Riggs does, but that could get a rotten tomato thrown at me.
I don't think so. How are you going to get that happen through the internet?
I'll get a bunch of tomato emojis come release day.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, great.
Okay, so I had a couple of weak sauces, which is why I didn't give this a bigger rating than I usually do. Daryl and Connie's communication obstacles. I actually love them. I ship them. I think they're great. The note writing was getting a little annoying to me just because my eyes aren't what they used to be. And I had to keep squinting and getting close to the screen to see what they were writing.
You too.
But also I'm just like, that scene dragged out just a little too long. So I think, in my opinion, they need to come up with another form of communication. Say, learn to use some body language, maybe.
Yeah, definitely.
And secondly, this didn't advance the story much, which is a very minor weak sauce. Like, not much happened. They went up to the top of the building, which, in my opinion, was kind of a good idea, but kind of not because, how do you get down in case you get trapped up there? But it was a setup for a awesome fight between Daryl and Beta. So a minor lame sauce, but it led to something great.
I had to agree with Brian with traveling with a baby. I think this is just something that we will be upset about in the future. It's a setup, and I really think it's a trap.
It's a trap!
So, I don't know. Come on, it's a setup for something. Something's going to happen because of that kid. It's really sad. I really hate saying...
It's a trap! So.
Do you think it's a setup because the baby's being taken to the kingdom, or is it a setup because that baby was left with Hilltop? Because to me, it didn't seem like Alpha gave two shites about that baby.
Yeah. And on top of that, of who the baby was given to be put in care of, too. And I see somebody going away. Because that's like a marker.
I hope not. I hope not.
Not the baby. The people who are in charge of the kid.
That baby's going to have like a constant cloud of doom over her head, just like Judith was in all of her early years.
Or even Grace.
Yes.
Look at what happened to Aaron.
His
arm. How do you change a diaper with that?
I just hope whoever is taking care of that baby knows that they're probably marked for death. if Judith is any track record.
Yeah. So, on to What Sauce.
What?
And like with Weak Sauce, there wasn't any What Sauce offered. But we do have some from Brian. And this will be a mix of his what and sad.
I've actually got three What Sauces. So Daryl says they won't go to Hilltop, that Alpha will attack if she's there. Well, wouldn't they attack there anyway? How would the Whispers know they didn't go back there? And speaking of Lydia, is it just me, or does Lydia's hair look a lot rattier, dirtier this episode than it did before? It's like she's taken a page from Daryl. And the last thing, another group, the Highwaymen, I guess that's what those symbols were. And I was going to say this in my sad sauce, but Highwaymen, more like cannon fodder.
Cannon fodder.
Honestly, I think Lydia looks great for living how many, like 6-7 years in the community that she's in. I mean, look at Alpha. She looks like she looks terrible. She looks like she's been through the ringer, and Lydia looks like a gem compared to her, and she's lived there since she was 5 years old.
Yeah, definitely. And you had some too, Lara, right? You had one?
Yeah, just what is this with this religion of the Guardians? I thought that was really cool. The Whisperers kind of, it almost seems like a cult or a religion with them, because when the guard or the lookout, I'm guessing that guy who was dying by the tree was the lookout that Daryl killed and stole his poncho and his face, because you see them in the last episode, they put out the bodies of the two rebels who were against Alpha. They put them out in the field, and that guy in the poncho comes up to him and says, "We'll come to you," or something like that. And then you see this guy dead by the tree, and he's gushing blood from his neck. I actually thought it was my opinion that Daryl had stabbed him in the neck, stole his poncho and his whisperer mask, and went into their camp. Well, that guy's dying, and Beta says to him, "Get his wife, let her know that the change has begun." And I think that this is kind of a religious aspect to them, because it's like he talks about how he's moving on to the next phase. And when you see them approaching the skyscraper where they're all hiding, he's actually walking amongst the whisperers. His zombie self is walking with them. So yeah. I think that it must be some sort of a weird religion to them or something like that.
Yeah, like a passage or something for them to go through once they've mm-hmm. crossed that line, I guess, or passed on.
Yeah, and I hope they follow up on that a little bit more and let us in a little bit more on what this relationship between the Whispers and their guardians is.
Yeah, it's very odd. Some weird cult.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely a cult. And Alpha is definitely the, what is his name? Jim, who made everyone drink the Kool-Aid. Jim James, yeah. Yeah, Alpha is the Jim James of the group.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't drink the Kool-Aid.
That doesn't sound right. I will find out what it is. But one other tiny note about that is that if you notice, when Daryl is coming up behind Beta in the room after the fight, and he's about to sneak up on him and push him down the elevator shaft, there is an X on the back of Beta's jacket. And I wonder if that has anything to do with the X's we've been seeing on the show.
Or are they X's on the back of people's backs?
The X's on the back of Michonne and Daryl, because this X was, it looked to me like it was made with tape or something like that on the back of his jacket.
Well, X marks the spot, I guess. So I only had a couple of myself. What was with that fight? I know they did hard work on it for 3 weeks, but I was expecting a lot more. That elevator shaft delivery reminded me of a previous episode. The Beth experience in the hospital in Atlanta, anyone? Didn't something happen in an elevator shaft then? Someone survived then too at that point. Seems like a regular trope in the show in some way, that going back, but in this case, it was a big hefty battle before it actually went down, not somebody being chased or lured in or something like that out of like a horror movie. Well, he was lured in, but he was tricked into jumping through it. And, you know, the little sneaky tricks that Daryl was doing kind of reminded me of Home Alone. So apparently he must have gotten, you know, tips from Macaulay Culkin or something.
Did that movie come out before 2010? I'm pretty sure it did.
Yeah,
it maybe he got to watch it one time.
Yeah, that was probably the only thing he could remember, because he's in the woods all the time. I could be too picky, but, you know, honestly, I really definitely wanted more. You would think after 3 weeks of like them working out a fight or something, I was thinking, oh, this battle scene's going to go on for like 10 minutes. And I'm like, that was kind of quick.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, Jim Jones, people, it's Jim Jones. I know everyone was screaming at their devices. It's Jim Jones. The Jim Jones cult in Jonestown. Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I thought it could have been bigger, badder, but maybe they're saving it for another, I don't know, confrontation.
I hope so.
One thing I would have liked to see is when he was pushing Daryl's head down on the saw blade.
Yeah.
It would have been a little bit cool if he had cut his, you know, neck a little bit. Just get a little bit of blood there. Make us a little more afraid for Daryl.
You're going to really make the Dixon chicks that are out there unhappy.
Hey, they love it when he gets all scarred up and bruised.
Well, I still want to know what happened with that scar over his eye.
I felt like Beta died, or he didn't die, but he got the Disney treatment. Doesn't every Disney bad guy get thrown off a cliff somewhere?
Or Wile E. Coyote.
Gaston, or the Evil Witch, or Scar. They always fall off a cliff.
You just brought up another Disney reference like I did last week.
Beta, you got the Disney treatment.
Yeah, The only other one that I had would be Tara's face when the Highwaymen showed up saying that they were their escorts. The look on her face was like full of shock, like, who are you? And or it looked like she knew him from something. I don't know. It was kind of like that. What? You know? And I hope we get some sort of explanation from this short scene, but because you didn't see them get into any detailed or conversation anymore than what was there. So I want more.
No, that totally reminds me when you said she looked at him and thought he looked familiar.
Yeah.
He looks like Luke's brother. Doesn't he look like Luke?
A lot of people say that, yeah.
Maybe she's looking up and she's like, Luke, where'd you get the cowboy gear?
How did you learn how to ride a horse?
What?
That well, I should say.
Where did they get their horses? I thought they've all been eaten.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they stole them. They are the Highwaymen.
Maybe they actually know how to keep their horses from getting eaten. Ugh, buttons.
Yeah, too bad. That poor horse.
R.I.P. Buttons.
All right. Now we should go and move on to Sad Sauce, or also known as...
Aww.
Sauce. And Lara, we got one feedback for Aw Sauce or Sad Sauce?
Yeah, we have Barbie. She says, Henry's bleeding leg wound reminded me of his brother Benjamin's fatal leg wound. Aw, but he'll be okay.
Did you have any?
I had one little Aw Sauce, and that was Earl and Tammy Rose and the baby. I thought it was kind of sweet that they had the baby after losing Kenny in the season premiere. And I love how Tammy Rose had the panic box set up. So she put the baby in the panic box and she went to help her man. That was sweet. And then they decided, after taking the baby all the way to the kingdom to find an adopted family for them, they decided that they're going to be the mommy and daddy.
Yeah. And it's funny how they put her the baby in the quiet box. The little boy is stuck in the quiet box. It reminded me something out of A Quiet Place, because they did that at the very end of the movie.
And, he did.
Yeah, and he set that all up to be quiet, so I'm wondering if they kind of stole that from the movie.
I call that the apocalypse panic box instead of the panic room.
Yeah. Like,
stick him in the panic box!
Exactly. So, I had one, which would be, sad to see a setup for people that will most likely perish soon. Not going to say what it is or who it is, but this episode points out to three characters that may lead the show in the next few episodes. And I want to tell you, everybody, this is not a spoiler, ladies and gentlemen. This is just based on the comic. This is just an observation based upon how the show has been written and what I could actually see what's going on and how they've been writing. And I'll throw more of my thoughts in my notes later. So,
but yeah, I don't even want to think about it. It's not fair. We don't need to lose any more people. We've already lost Rick and Jesus. Who else do we need to lose? Except for maybe Tara.
Well, we know we're not getting rid of Daryl or Carol because they signed on and got paid a lot of money to stay on for so long. So Norman Reedus and Melissa McBride are secure in their jobs for a while, it seems.
Yeah, honestly, I am fearful for the kingdom because it's just too beautiful and too happy and too wonderful a place to ever exist. So I'm really afraid for the kingdom.
Yeah. So we got a little bit of feedback from Steve Brown, my co-host from Panels of Pixels. It's in a voicemail, so I'll play that now.
Hello, Walking Dead Talk Through. This is Steve, and just a few notes from Choke Point. Loved seeing the banners at the beginning. I don't know if you guys noticed, but there was an Oceanside banner. I don't know what that means. We're going to see somebody from Oceanside or if they had contact with them. Nobody's mentioned Oceanside, or barely mentioned it. Loved hearing them talk about Jed's group and Carol being so confident that they would not be showing up. And then also Connie and Carol's confidence about Connie being so confident about the letter, realizing that, oh, wait, this letter doesn't mean a death threat. This is what it means. And seeing that these guys are willing to negotiate. And then Carol saying that if they don't listen to them, they would just kill them. Very reminiscent of when our group first got to Alexandria and Rick said, well, if they don't let us in, we'll just take this place. I thought that was interesting. The meeting between the kingdom and the highwaymen was very reminiscent of a scene from the movie The Outlaw, Josie Wales, where Josie meets with a group of Indians and barters a kind of a peace agreement between them. So I thought that was, there was really a lot of very Western motifs. And I love the Highwaymen. Just love that group. I hope they're legitimate. That fight between Daryl and Beta, you're probably going to have a lot of talk about it, but it was absolutely cool. And I can't wait for round two. And come on, Daryl, you always check the body. Anyway, talk to you later.
Yeah, definitely. Always check the body. And yeah, I have to bring up, definitely those banners were a pretty cool thing to see on the show. I didn't catch that a few times, even though it was blatant and you saw them roll down. And also there, if you look in that scene too, we see a papier-mâché Shiva somewhere.
I loved that.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Homage to Shiva.
Yeah, so we know, and Shiva is prevalent on the actual banner itself, so that's the, that actually signifies what the kingdom is. Unfortunately, she's no longer with us.
No. Yeah. That was very Game of Thrones reminiscent, too. The rolling out of the banners.
Yeah, so, well, they're a big competitor.
Sorry, people. I love Game of Thrones, and I think you do too, Mark.
Oh, that I do.
So we have some feedback from Glynis. Carol's negotiation with the Highwaymen was clever and perceptive. Nice that she is now considering not going with killing first off. Flick Fridays should be put into the schedule permanently, like Herschel's Pizza Wednesdays on a Tuesday when they were in the prison. Daryl asking Lydia if Beta is the strongest and so wanting to deal with him first and killing him sounds a little like when Daryl offered to kill Negan and all the survivors at the satellite base in exchange for Hilltop's medicine, food, and one of them cows. Season 6, episode 11. Careful you don't go full tilt and bite off more than you can chew, which may result in similar tragic consequences.
She said Pizza Wednesday on a Tuesday. I was under the impression it was Spaghetti Wednesday
that
on
is
a Tuesday.
True.
All right. So I that was a common thing. That's something that's been implemented in my brain since that episode. So I don't know. I think I'm correct. But all right. So we got a little bit more from Brian as far as a feedback. So we'll listen to that.
I really didn't have much else to say about this episode. I caught that Magnus group calls the Walker sickos. I thought that the building that they, you know, made their stand in, it looked from the outside as like, you know, an ordinary apartment building from, I don't know, the 70s or something. And inside it looked like an office building. So I don't understand that, but that's about all I have for that.
Wow. Well, thanks, Brian. So I have some a little bit more in my notes, too. So like I stated before, the three characters that may perish in my observation of how the episode was written, story of hope. It's basically a story of hope. So Brett Butler's character, the baby, was a dead giveaway to me, you know, not to make a pun based upon whispers and the dead, obviously. Diane is pretty much on the chopping block from what I can see, as well as King Ezekiel, because there's always so much hope. But honestly, I do not want to see Ezekiel go away. You know?
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, I'll miss this.
Welcome to the kingdom.
You know, who does not want to hear him ever again?
And Kari Payton is so, like, dynamic. I don't know why they would want to take such a dynamic, charismatic character off the show, especially with some of the other ones leaving.
Yeah, I don't think it'll happen. I think something else is going to happen. But I just hope and pray they keep, and we don't lose anybody substantial. Like Diane is from the kingdom, so
why do you think she would be going?
Because she's like, I see her as a red shirt, because we haven't really seen her too much. You've only seen her in Key, but they've been kind of pushing it this last half of the season, of her being in Key episodes. Yeah. And just saying a few lines, but they weren't of anything of great importance.
In my opinion, she's a kick-ass Amazonian and she needs to stick around, maybe develop her character a little more.
Hopefully, you know, we'll see. We don't know what's really going to happen until it happens. You know, I'm not like the weatherman, but then again, weatherman can't predict the weather, let alone the future. And I'm not trying to quote Back to the Future there, but it is the truth, as Lara would know because of what's going on with her.
I know, Stormageddon, but hey, the weatherman here said that the snow would come at 10 o'clock, and like clockwork, it started at 10 o'clock.
Wow.
So I give them props.
Well, there you go.
And I'm actually a little more nervous for Tammy Rose's husband, Earl, than Tammy Rose. I have a feeling she's going to stick it out. She had a lot of gumption and spunk there trying to save Earl. But I see some foreboding around Earl, like how he's injured himself and she wants him to retire and all this stuff. I'm a little more worried for Earl.
Yeah. I like Earl. Oddly enough, I do. I like that character. I want to see more of him.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. I have a couple of other things. That would be the Highwaymen are something that is an enigma to me. I don't recall these characters in the comic. This is something that intrigues me. Either new red shirts on the show or new help for the communities. Could go either way. Who knows? Or maybe another dark villain that we don't expect. We don't know. It's just the weirdest thing, you know. I just hope it comes out more with these people, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they're a wild card for sure, which is nice. I'm glad that the show throws in a few wild cards that comic book readers aren't aware of so that we don't all know like what's going to happen, or it gives you some room to speculate.
Yeah, definitely. So,
and anyhow, we already know who the highwaymen are. It's Luke's long lost twin brother.
Possibly. Who knows? You know, we all have those key ideas. You know what I'm saying? So the other thing I had was the scene with the highwaymen was something out of Westworld. They were hidden between the dummies down there in the factory or shopping center. They were blending in. It's like you did not know the others were around. You didn't know how many they were. They were masked with the dummies that resembled people around them. Almost like the hosts in Westworld would be, you know. I don't know if any of you out there watch Westworld. I love Westworld. The second season is a really big thinker because you have a lot of thinking involved on that one, but the hosts are pretty much robots and they could stand still. And in Westworld, when they deactivate or take them offline, they put them in like some sort of storage facility. And there was one moment where, you know, they're all standing still and you don't know one's moving, and one did move and it was covered from the other, you know, dummies that were there. Is this a reference to that show in some way? Who knows? Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought that was a really cool scene, and mannequins are creepy anyhow, but I thought that scene was kind of tense, and it also added one of those kind of like horror trope moments of, you know, not knowing what's real and what's a decoy.
Exactly. So, on to news and rating.
It was just a couple weird stories on the news.
And Brian has sent in some of the news and ratings for us.
Here are news, ratings, and info. Thankfully, ratings were up this week again. The Walking Dead got a 1.77 in the 18-49. With 4.831 million viewers. That is up from 1.73, 1849, and 4.708 million viewers last week. So just a little bit up. Talking Dead, however, was up a little bit more than that. It was up at a 0.71 in the 18-49 with 2.031 million viewers. That's up from 0.53, 1849, and 1.696 million viewers. So that's actually quite a bit higher than the previous week compared to, as you can see with The Walking Dead, it was only up small fractions and just 123,000 viewers. But Talking Dead was up 335,000 viewers. So that's up quite a bit in comparison. As far as info on the episode, I watched Talking Dead, which is the segment that they release online that's recorded right after the full episode of Talking Dead. And Lauren Ridloff talked about the scene with Dog breaking the arrow. And apparently that was by accident. It was not scripted that way. And they loved it so much in the dailies that they decided to leave it in. However, it needed to be reshot because there were some lighting issues and I don't know, something else, but they actually reshot it. But it's kind of funny that they left it in. And then as far as other news, I don't have real details about it, but apparently Sarah Wayne Callies is directing a season 5 episode of Fear the Walking Dead, which is kind of funny slash ironic in a way, because of course Andrew Lincoln has been reported to be directing an episode of The Walking Dead next season. So it's like husband and wife both directing, sort of. Anyway, that's it for me. Thanks to Laura for subbing in this week, and thank you to Mark, of course. Talk to you soon.
Cool. Thank you, Brian, for that. And it was nice to hear him. That's a lot of news and info.
Yeah, and Lauren Ridloff, that's the actress's name who plays Connie. She's lovely.
Oh, cool. Well, to interact with us, we all want to encourage you to follow us on Twitter, which would be at WalkingDeadGSM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, www.facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM. We'd like to encourage you to use our email address, WalkingDeadGSM@gmail.com. The feedback form on the goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback is now functioning again. So you can send text or audio there. You can find our SpeakPipe widget and send in voicemails just like Steve Brown does. Or you could call us at 304-837-2278. The deadline for next episode is Wednesday, March 20th, 2019 at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central. And the best way you can support us is by subscribing to us in Apple Podcasts, goldenspiralmedia.com/apple. While you're there, please give us a rating or review. It'd be awesome if you guys did that. And to find out all the other ways to support Golden Spiral Media, just go to goldenspiralmedia.com/support. And where else can we all be listened to? Well, Brian's not here to say it, but I'm going to say it. The Star Trek Discovery podcast, which is found on Golden Spiral Media, has been going strong during the hiatus, and he continues to podcast about the amazing season 2 of Star Trek Discovery. And last week's episode was a huge one, according to Brian. And you could go and listen to that through StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com. And you could go to facebook.com/groups/StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast. And where else you could find me? Well, you could find me and listen to me on Panels to Pixels on the Next Level Radio Podcast Network. This week, Steve and I will be covering and reviewing Captain Marvel. So that will be our next venture. We're kind of breaking up Punisher Season 2 for now, just because this is a new movie. We want to talk about the new stuff that comes out when it comes out. So we are hoping to have more people on. We'll see what happens.
Oh, sweet. I'll have to listen to that. You know me, Mark. I'm a big Marvel girl.
Yep. So next week would be The Walking Dead Season 9, Episode 14, called Scars, written by, to be determined at that point, and directed by, we don't know. The description of it is an outsider's arrival forces Alexandria to rehash devastating old wounds. Eye-opening secrets from the past are revealed. And Brian says, finally! So, it's something that we all want to see. And we haven't been able to for a long time. But, you know, we don't know. This could be something else for all we know. It could be something strange. Or it could be,
it's a trap!
And I hope it's not a trap for anything.
So, I think it was a fair that went terribly wrong, and they never had another one since.
Or an affair at a fair that went wrong.
It went horribly, horribly wrong.
And I'm not going to speculate, because there's always things. Yeah, there was an affair at the fair, and that's why RJ is really Daryl's child.
No. Oh, no. I thought he was Shane. Yeah.
No, that's Judith.
And Carl.
No, that's too far gone. Oh, that was a good one.
Lori, she got around.
We thought Rosita did. Wow. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. And this is the Talking Through. All right, I'm going to do that again. I should leave that in.
Do it.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Do it live.
No. We'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Damn straight, we'll do it live.
Yeah, well.
Mark, you blew it. You had your chance and you blew it.
And you blew it. You blew it. You blew it! You blew it! You had it all and you blew it!
As Brian would chime in every once in a while for me if I did that. So until next time, I'm Mark.
And I'm Laura.
And this is The Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.